thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic.
Hi, and thank you once again for recording this episode of The Skeptic Sidekick. My name is Richard Gregg, and with me, as always, my sweet, wonderful, beautiful, kind, considerate sister of mine,
this week?
Kimber Rodriguez. Pretty well. I just like to send out all the love and honesty and suggest that this holiday season, go out there, grab the first person you see, hug them,
but with
and
COVID,
say thank
we don't
you
really want to put
here.
That out there, you know. Don't want to. We'll do some air hugs, high fives from across the room, but we don't actually want to grab people right now.
No, true. I'm just saying that, you know, just tell somebody, even a complete total stranger, you're special. I appreciate
that
you.
Makes
thank
sense.
You for crossing into my life.
So, tonight we have a very special guest with us, a wonderful person we met named Corby Metlide. And she, well, I'll let her tell you a little bit about her.
Let me just first off say how wonderful, sweet, and just one of the greatest people that I've happened to met. And she was originally, we were supposed to recording on my birthday, and she was going to be my birthday present from me to me. So with this awesome lady, we'd like to have
yes,
her tell us a
little
bit more about herself.
Thank you for joining us, Corby.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So the 30-second elevator speech, one of two. I am a certified tarot master, certified professional tarot reader, past life specialist, trained medium, ordained minister. My whole philosophy is, here are your opportunities and how to grab them. Here's this tough stuff. Here's how to get through it or around it. Here's your toolbox. Go rock and roll. I take my work very seriously, me not so much, and I'm not one of those psychics who thinks her aura don't stink. I think that covers it.
Well, we're very happy that you took the time to join us this evening. One of the questions that I have is, I know you talked about in your bio about how to tell who's a real psychic and
yes,
who's just in it. Yes. So that was one of the things that captured my eye. I know one of your chapters in your book refers to setting apart from the Cleos. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Psychics 101. Here's the books, kids. I don't know if they're doing the video too, but this is the book we're going to be talking about this weekend.
Yes.
All right. So yeah. Psychics 101, The Good, the Bad, and the Cleos is actually a lecture I now do at psychic fairs. And it came, the entire book actually, came from something that happened about, 15 years ago. I was doing a very large show up in Toronto, 250 booths. And even the best promoters can't know that everybody is 100%. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get in the fakes. So I was across from a fake gypsy. A woman was walking down the aisle, looking at all of us, as you're supposed to do. The fake gypsy runs out, grabs her arm. Now, psychic show parlance, that's called hooking. And it's as bad as the other kind of hooking. But she says to the woman, oh, you no need to pay $30, $40, $50. I need your bomb for 10. Come. Takes the woman behind the screen. 20 minutes later, we see that woman leaving crying hysterically. And a bunch of us run over to see what's going on. Well, the fake gypsy had said, oh, you have a family curse. How many in your family? Four? You have a dog? $50 every family member, $25 for a dog. He's small, we fix. And told the woman if she didn't burn 400 specially blessed candles at the Roman Catholic Church, I bless real good. Only $1 candle. Her entire family was going to die in a car accident in 2 weeks.
Oh,
and she
my
bought
goodness.
It.
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay. That's why after the steam left my ears, I said, I have got to lecture on this. And so there are actually two lectures. There's Psychics 101, The Good, the Bad, and the Cleos, and Psychics 102, How to Have a Great Psychic Experience. And I make it easy for people. I use a mnemonic. Now, what's a mnemonic? PTA, Parent Teachers Association. It's a word that spells out concepts. So the mnemonic to remember is the word psychic. Professionalism, shared references, you're in charge of your own life, charges, here I can fix anything for a price stories, inappropriate actions, and connections. When you've got all that down pat, to be honest, I don't care if you never come to me for a reading ever. If what I wrote for you helps you avoid the fakes, keeps money in your pocket, and gets you to where you can use useful information, I did my job and I am perfectly happy, because that means all boats rise.
Interesting. Following up on that, mm-hmm. even with real psychics, I know you say that there's always not always going to be that connection.
That's right.
And you shouldn't blame the psychic or say, oh, they're fake because we didn't get a good reading off of it. So I was just wondering if you could elaborate more on that.
Sure. What I remind people is even the best of us are only 85% accurate. The only one 100% accurate is God, and doesn't have a booth at the psychic fair this week.
Right.
So we do what we can. Sometimes we are so ridiculously accurate, we weird ourselves out. And sometimes it's what I call omega brain, just misses. And that's okay. If you want to speak to Aunt Rose, and she's gone on, we are not dial-a-dead. Just because I can't get her, it could be that she's on a field trip up there mm-hmm. and she's not by the phone. Also, you have to look at what we do. You would not go to a cardiologist who is a heart specialist for a rash on your butt. You go to a dermatologist because that's his specialty.
Right.
So when you go to a psychic fair, I talk about it being like being good puppies. First, you do your walkies. You walk around and you look at all the booths. You don't have to talk to anybody. Then you get paper trained. What is paper trained? You're going to go and you're going to collect things like this, flyers or rack cards. Mm-hmm. We all have them. And that's fast information on us. You're going to go sit and you're going to read. Maybe four of us really ring your chimes. You go back and talk to us if you can. But remember, we can tell you we're wonderful and that doesn't count. And we hire our front people to say they love us. My first front person was the fabulous Laura Spickerman, who was my husband's business manager at the museum he ran Monday through Friday. Do you think on the weekend she's going to dismiss his museum director? Right. Probably not. You want to find our testimonial books. These are comments from people who have had readings. Are we good? Are we funny? Are we kind? Do I have specialties? Would they come back? And the last thing I'm telling you guys, check in at your heart level. You're putting your hard-earned money on the table. If the psychic doesn't feel like they have a brain in their head, they really care about what they're doing, but they're going to give you good information, don't go there no matter how cool the wiki woo looks on the table.
That's, yes.
They may be serving Wookiee cookies.
Yes.
You know, and we all have bedside manners. There are some people who like the glurpy purple with angels, really soft, Hallmarky mm-hmm. feel. And then there's me. I'm from New York. I'm going to hit you upside the head with a glue brick. I'll probably make you laugh. And I may be giving you the same information as a little dancing raccoon over here, but it's method of delivery.
Right.
Know where you're comfortable.
Yeah. Personally, I think I prefer the straightforward as opposed to the flowers and this and that. Because to me, they could both be authentic, but I think I would feel more authentic with someone like you that's just straight to the point and say, look, this is the way it is. Take it or leave it, you know.
That is wonderful. But I'll be honest, there are some people that I scared a bejesus out of because I am so absolutely right there. But, you know, that's what happens when you are a charismatic. What's a charismatic? It's the kind of person who walks into a room 3 feet before they walk into a room. They just kind of take it over. Here I am. And people either adore them mm-hmm. or cannot stand them. I was a theater major at Brown University. I was a professional actor in New York. Baby, this is just what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. I have a question. It's kind of totally off topic. Do you still have that tarot deck from?
No, I wore that one out. Look, I read 1,000 people a year. I have to replace my deck every single year. Wow. I have gone through 8 to 10 copies of the Tarot Illuminati by my buddy Eric Dunn that I have used since it came out in 2013. Now, there is one deck that I have from the late 70s that is frankly worth about $400 because you can't find it anymore. But it's one that I use rarely. It is the Secret Dakini deck. It's a collage deck. It's very much Hindu to the feel. Hello, Ganesh. But this is the oldest deck I have. Most of them, I've been using a version of it for about 15 years, but they get replaced every 1 to 2 years because the paper wears out.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds to me like that's probably going to be a next Christmas surprise present.
I was just thinking the same thing. For you.
Actually, it's still there. It is still there, but they now call it Tarot of the Witches.
Oh, okay.
So it's the exact same deck. It's very odd. You know, people have teeny weeny hands and big faces, and it's terribly 60s. Terribly
60s. Awesome. We'll have to look for that.
Okay.
This kind of just struck me funny, the story behind, you know, you seeing Live and Let Die, which is, I would say, one of my mm-hmm. top three mm-hmm. favorite Bond films. And
yes,
to go, I want well, that look, turtle deck.
We were all hippies then. You had your elephant bell bottoms and your fringe jacket and your deck. Now, 5 years later, everyone else had moved on to roller skates and disco balls. I was still reading, man, because mm-hmm. I thought it was really cool, which is why I read for 20 years, which apparently cleared me out enough that the universe said, fine, you're going to do hands-on healing and talk to dead people with no training. Here's your draft notice.
Oh, goodness. I'm sure that was pretty scary at first when it first started occurring.
It was unnerving. Yes, it was. But when you're called, you're called. And the way I deal with dead people is a little bit different than what you're going to see at Lilydale or, you know, on TV, John Williams, James Van Praagh. For some reason, my guides like to play charades. So I get dog tags. Well, what does that mean? Who they were to you, the name, the year they died, and how old they were. For instance, my dad, Jerome Richard Dworkin, who died in 2001 at the age of 80, doesn't tell me anything about him that gets me into the energy. And then I just let the hands move. This means they smoked. This means they toked. This means they had surgery. This means it was a sudden death or an accident. And I just let my hands go. But it gives really precise stuff. Two examples. There was a woman who wanted to speak to her father-in-law. All of a sudden, I feel myself miming a pool cue. He had taught her how to play pool. Mm-hmm. There was a woman in Canada who wanted to speak to her grandmother. I felt myself salute. Now, here's your key. We Americans salute with our palms down.
Mm-hmm.
Brits and Canadians, palms out.
Right.
Her grandfather was acknowledging that she had just graduated 2 weeks before from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police Academy.
Oh, wow.
Which she hadn't told me. That's, to me, that's real, not it's a rose, she loves you.
Right.
That's why I don't fish. I would rather get you the real stuff.
Yes. Speaking of fishing, like, what are your thoughts on that? Because I know, like, one of the shows I like to watch is Long Island Medium. And I know that everybody says, oh, well, she's fishing. And
let me tell you a story, though.
Okay.
All right. She does what I call drive-by psychic shootings.
Mm-hmm.
It shows her walking up to somebody in Wegmans and saying, excuse me, your Aunt Doris, she says you have a back tire that's bald and you're going to die in a car accident if you don't get it fixed. She's telling you and walks away.
Right.
This is bull. Number one, her people went and scouted out all the Wegmans on Long Island, chose one. Then they interview people and get them to sign model releases. And then it's rehearsed.
Wow.
6 months. But there are psychics who think that's the way it's supposed to be. That is why people are scared of us, because they think we have no boundaries.
Right.
And I tell my people, somebody comes up to you and starts blathering at you, you go, I don't want the message. I refuse it. And if they keep bugging you, you go find the manager and you have them arrested for harassment. I'm not kidding. Now, you get someone from Lilydale. Lilydale is one of the most notable spiritual communities in the US, maybe the world. And somebody from there might say, excuse me, my name is Reverend Shirley, and I'm from Lilydale, I'm a medium. I believe I have a message for you. May I come to you? That's the key. May I come to you? Because if you say no, thank you, they will turn and walk away. And you know, it's the same thing with healers, and I've had to deal with this, drives me crazy. I can do hands-on healing. If I see you hurting from a migraine, I could walk up to you, Kimbra, and say, look, sometimes I can relieve pain, hands-on healing. Would you like me to help? And if you said, no, thank you, I would back up, because that's your free will. There have been too many healers who see me with a headache go, here, I can fix it. You literally come at you like this. And I say, no, thank you. No, really, I can. And I have to go, get out of my face. And then it's, oh, you're not very loving-like. Well, you're not listening to my no. No is a fabulous idea. Respect my boundaries.
Exactly. So I know I'm not watching that show anymore.
No, complete and total fake. And even, you know, John Holland, who is real, James Van Praagh, Lise Edwards, you're seeing a show that had editing. You getting a 60, 90 minute show, and it could be that they filmed for 6 hours. So, but that's kind of one of the reasons I won't do mediumship live, because I don't censor, and I will tell the PC-13 version of the story. I was reading in Canastota, New York, and there was a biracial same-gender couple. The black partner had died, and her white widow wanted to speak to her. Now, you see this face. This is a nice Jewish kid from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Right. I have manners. But what comes out of my mouth in flawless urban ebonics, I will not say on the radio, because some people's ears would be scorched. And it should not come out of this face. And I was going, and the woman in front of me was nodding and laughing, because that is how her partner, Isabel, walked into the house and greeted her after.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is why a good intuitive, a good psychic cannot let their ego get out of the way. Because if I was in my ego, I'd say, oh my God, I can't say that. And I would botch the message. And sometimes we get things that we don't get, but our person does. For instance, if I saw a rutabaga driving a Plaid fire engine, I'd probably say, I have no idea why I'm saying this, but I'm seeing a rutabaga with a Plaid fire engine. And I bet you the client would say, that was what my little boy just put on the refrigerator from art class, or that was my first toy when I was a kid. We don't have to know why it's coming out of the mouth. We just need to see.
Right. Interesting. I know you say just as some people love art museums but don't want to be painters, many want to go to psychics but don't want to learn to be psychic themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
As somebody who is wanting to grow my intuition, I just wanted to see if you could go into a little detail about that, as far as like what scares people off or what work, the work that they don't want to do.
They don't want to meditate. They are afraid of what they will get. But, you know, my family doesn't believe in what I do at all. I'm pulling something for you to see. That's why I left the camera.
You're perfectly fine.
Good. Okay. This is the book you want. It's Opening to Channel.
Okay.
By Sanaya Roman and Dwayne Packer. This is how I learned 30, 35 years ago. And it's still out there, and it's a good, solid book. Hmm. You can't get it always right. In the beginning, you're going to have to take notes. You're going to have to say, well, all of a sudden, I was thinking about my friend Debbie, and I was concerned that something was going wrong at her house, and I called her, but she was fine. Or I called her, and yes, her son was just taken to the hospital. One of the situations, God, I just remembered one that happened to me. This is back in the 80s when I was living in the Hudson Valley. And I'm having dinner with a friend, and all of a sudden I see my father. It was a two-story restaurant, and my father is walking along the balcony on the second floor, and thinking, Dad's 300 miles away. What is this? And I run upstairs, and I try to follow, and I run into a wall. Picked up the phone and called my stepmother, and I said, Shirley, what's wrong? She said, your father was just taken to the hospital. We had a car accident.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, my father was my best friend, and we still have connection, even though he's been dead for 20 years. So it's no surprise that we had the connection. I mean, we had the same birthday. He is the one that that understood his daughter was different from the rest of the family, but it took him a long time to do that. So,
Yeah, I can understand that connection. I was born 3 days after my dad and the only girl. And he used to say he had me on a pedestal and no one could knock me off no matter what I did. And so I can understand that.
As opposed to my relationship with our father, you know, it's completely, totally different. But no, me, I have noticed, you know, a little bit of psychic powers that I do have.
And you need to learn how to
don't want them.
Ground, center, and shield and say no. The thing is, we're all wired the same way. All right. This is one of my two Elton John stories. We all have 10 fingers.
Right.
Everybody can play chopsticks with a little effort. Some of us, we love the idea of playing music. So we practice our scales. We learn to read music and, you know, we get good. And then 1 in 30 right. million is Elton John. Okay. But we all have 10 fingers. If you are getting this stuff,
right,
but you don't want to, then you really do need to learn how to put up your psychic boundaries. You know, you're just polite to the folks upstairs, said, I understand, but shop's closed. It's one of the reasons people say, well, do you get things when you walk down the street? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. Because the agreement I have with my guides is I don't do that. I will read someone when they have sat down with me and it's a pro bono, it's a gift, or we're doing a barter. You know, I do a reading, they give me a chicken, or we pay for it. Once a month on my Facebook page, I'll do free reading hour pro bono for the good of the world. But other than that, no, I don't walk down the street and see things. Yeah. That's when shop's closed.
I'm just running to spirits that shop's closed. I don't care. You know, very rude spirits I've actually gone across. And my unique gift does really kind of scare me a bit. So, you know, so I've just over time kind of have built up my little wall through meditation, channeling, and up until 5 years ago, I didn't want to discuss it. And it's got to a point where the little voice inside me says, well,
you can't necessarily take the gift away, but you can shut it down. That's what I would tell you. Just out of curiosity, Richard, I have to ask you, did you ever get hit upside the head when you were a kid, have an accident, fall out of a tree, anything like that?
My brother pushed me out of a bathtub, and I've got a scar on the right side of my temple right there.
There's anecdotal evidence. Those of us that have the gift and we're active with it, got hit upside the head when we were kids. Me, I was 4. I was sliding down the local sledding hill, but no one had taught me how to roll off the sled. Ooh. So concrete bench, my head, boom. Now, very thick skull, didn't even have it fractured. Mm-hmm. You know, went to the hospital and was black and blue for a couple of weeks. But that's classic for those of us that do this work. We got to hit upside the head.
I also got stung between the eyes by I'm not sure if it was a wasp or a hornet, but for about a week, I had a swelling temple,
could've kind
of like
too.
Almost a Klingon, and I could barely open up my eyes. Yeah, so they were like 3 years.
I have often heard that people with head injuries or even near-death experiences have been open to these sort of things. With my mother, or our mother, I should say, when she was 2, she had stepped on a thorn and it had went up into her foot and she'd gotten blood poisoning. And she says she was in a coma for about a month. And I truly believe that that's what started her journey, because she says that when she was in a coma, she was in like this beautiful place that people would refer to as heaven. And so I truly believe that that's what opened her journey up to all of this.
Very probably.
For me, like I said, I would love to open up my gifts, but I'm not afraid of what I would find, but more afraid of what others would think. We have a very conservative Christian family. Mm-hmm. And I know even like doing this podcast and putting it out there, I've gotten messages from family members that, you know, that this stuff is the work of the devil. And, you know, the only spirit she should be talking to is Jesus Christ. And so I think that that's the fears that I have is, what are people going to think? Am I going to alienate my family by going down this path? What are your thoughts on that? Or have you ever dealt with that?
Of course. My family does not believe what I do. My brother will not admit to anybody I'm a psychic. He says I'm a motivational speaker. The one person in the family who really gets it is my fabulous nephew. But I've made my peace with that. I know what I'm meant to do. I have helped literally thousands of people. I have an international reputation. I'm in books. I've written books. If they don't believe it, all I can say is thank you for sharing. You may think that if you wish. I will not stop doing what I was meant to do.
Awesome. Yes.
They probably would take it most of the time with me because I was the weird one in the family.
Yeah, I was the cute little girl that everybody just thought, oh, she's so sweet and so adorable. And so I think that they can still think they can sway me, but growing up with a mother who has, she's been able to do everything under the sun, pretty much. This passion for the other side has just really blossomed in me since I was young. And I ignored it for a while, but with the start of this podcast, I really feel that coming back and wanting to do more with it and go down that hole a little more, I should say.
And do it. Absolutely do it. What other people think of us is none of our business. Wayne Dyer.
I agree.
Awesome. So are there any absolutes that people need if they're going to go to a reading? Anything they need to prepare with?
Well, it depends. Some psychics just like grabbing your hands and blarging it out there. The best person I ever knew who did that is the late, great Allie Cheslick. We called her Chatty Cathy of the Dead. And now that she's passed over, she still is. But the thing is, Allie wouldn't stop. When we were on a show together and, you know, we each had like 6 minutes, she'd go 12, 18. So also realize we are like doctors. We all have specialties. You would not come to me for psychometry work or a pendulum or spirit art. It's not my thing. Mm-hmm. Tarot and oracle cards for decades. I am a past life specialist. Now, you see, when the universe was looking to see what I was going to do, it went rifling through my file cabinet and he said, okay, trained actress, she knows characters. Words are her drug of choice. She's a writer. She can tell a story. And she's been a history freak since she was a little schnitz. Mm-hmm. So what that means is I may see the exact same scene as another very competent past life specialist. But they may say, well, it's a long skirt and a big hat and it's in front of a very ornate building. So I know it's old fashioned. I could see that picture and go, okay, hobble skirt, picture hat, that ostrich feather. You're in front of the Brandenburg Gate. So that's probably Berlin in 1911 or 12. Which one's going to give you more information?
Right.
So know what you want to know. That's very important.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of always, I shake my head when people are talking about past life. Oh yeah, I was Cleopatra. Oh yeah, I was Julius Caesar. No one was ever
The ones I've gotten... I must be Anne Boleyn because I can't wear turtlenecks. No. I'll give you two quick examples of past lives that did work. There was a woman who came to me and said, look, I'm really worried about my boy. He's 29. He won't live more than a mile from me. He keeps talking to me about every single decision he's going to make. What the hell is going on? I said, okay. Utah Beach, 1944. So this is D-Day. I see your boy. He's a soldier on the beach, his leg is kind of mangled. You're his commanding officer and you were dragging him over one of the dunes. You took some shrapnel too, but you both got out of there alive. She looks at me and she says, do you see my rank? I said, yeah, you were a sergeant. She goes, he's called me sergeant. That's since cute. He's been three and we don't know where that came from. Second one, there was a woman who was from the Midwest, had no connection, but was always fascinated by the Underground Railroad. And I went upstairs and said, okay, I'm seeing a small whitewashed room, low ceiling. There are two tall gentlemen standing by the bed and they're bent over because they're too tall for the room. You're kneeling by the bed. Your dress is gray and black, got black soutache along the peplum and the sleeves and the hem. It looks about 1862 or 63. You're kneeling next to a rickety iron bed and there's a little old black woman and she's dying and everyone is very upset because she was from a Mississippi plantation and she'd gotten up to like Philadelphia and she was almost where she needed to go in Boston, but she was going to die before she got there. And I opened my eyes and the woman is crying. She says, I have had the same dream exactly for 20 years. So there you go. Pretty cool.
Fascinating.
Yes. I know many people say you shouldn't ask questions, that the psychic should just know everything. Do you believe questions are important and why or why not?
Okay. That's like going into a doctor and saying, I don't feel good. You're a doctor. You're supposed to know. I'm not saying anything. It's like trying to climb Everest in sneakers, my petunias. There's no grip. And no matter how fast I am, and baby, I am fast, if I could get your life encyclopedia from A to F, what you wanted to know was down at N, you're going to say, oh, she's terrible. She didn't tell me anything. So that's why when you sit down with me, first thing I'm going to say to you is, what is the most important thing you want to get out of your knowing? Because it's going to be one of four things. Everyday tour bus, house, car, job, kids. Okay, God, you put me here. Now what? Who was I in 1642 Belgium? I want to speak to my Binky, you know, my spirit guide Binky, or how's dead Aunt Mabel? It's one of those four, but that's all different tools for me. Mm-hmm. Also, I don't fortune tell. If you want to know about business, I'll say, great. You want to stay where you are, change jobs, or open your own place, because each one of those is a separate multi-level spread. For instance, if you said, I want to open up my own rock shop, wouldn't be three cards, wait until February and fight a redhead. It would be a card for you, a card for the energy around the business, the brick and mortar location, how to market it, clients, competition, staff, finances, what you need to know, and best possible outcome. This puts a rocket pack on your back. It empowers you. Mm-hmm. That's how I read.
Yes, it does.
Awesome.
I don't do fluff.
No, and I like that. It's like you said, if they're going in wanting to know a specific thing, mm-hmm. then it's important to know what that specific thing is.
Yes.
And especially so that you know how to do the reading. Because if they're wanting to know, should I stay with my current job or should I open my own business, without knowing those questions, how are you going to know what information to deliver to them?
Exactly. Now, if you have an answer you want, don't keep pushing me to get mm-hmm. it. Typical. Does Bruce love me? Not the way you want. Is he ever going to love me? I don't see that. Well, if I do such and such, is he going to love me? No, I don't see that. Well, is he going to call? No. Is he going to call sooner or later? He's not going to call. And mm-hmm. they beat on you until you get so exhausted. It's yes, yes, he loves you and he wants seven babies with you, but he just doesn't know it yet. Oh, good. I thought so. Yes. Don't do that. It's a waste of my time and your money.
Right. And that's why I have a problem with love readings. I guess a general reading, like, will I meet somebody in the near future? But when they get to the point where they're like so insistent on this one person that they're obviously not meant to be with, and that doesn't do them any disservice, or any service, I should say, to.
But you got to leave it to them for free will.
True.
If I read that and she said, well, I still don't know what to do about Bruce, mm-hmm. I'd give her three sets of three. Status quo, y'all have to come to Jesus meeting and do heavy right. counseling, or you leave. And then I zip it because it's free will. You know, you may have Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice sign at leave. But if she says, well, I guess I'll just stick it out, that is her karmic choice.
Right.
The only time I change that is if she says that she's been beaten or battered or gaslighted, mm-hmm. then the Wiki Woo hat comes off, my reverend collar, mm-hmm. which I have, goes on, and I counsel her about getting out of that problem.
Right. But there are some people that are so insistent on, oh, I'm so in love with this person, I want to be with this person, that they're just looking and looking and looking for that assurity that it's going to work out.
I know.
And if they don't get it from you, then they go to somebody else. And
I know.
So that's why I don't like love readings. It's
just what happens.
Yes.
And we have to, you know, live and be well, honey.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Just kind of walk away like, okay, you know, I've already tried answering your questions. To me, that would be sort of, I'm going to give you your money back because you're not asking the right questions. And the answers I'm giving you doesn't
fit
your profile.
There are times I will say we're not making a connection, but I was making a connection then. They just didn't want to hear it. Not making a connection is when someone comes to me and says things like, I want to know where my husband is sleeping with his mistress. I'm sorry, I don't do remote spying. Well, can you tell me, is he going to die soon? Will he leave me his money? I say, I'm sorry, I'm not making a connection. They get their money back and they're out of the booth.
Now, speaking of money, what is a fair price to pay psychics? Because I know that there's some that they pay maybe $20, $25 a reading. And then you've got the exorbitant on the other side where they're paying, charging like $150 for a reading. So what would you say would be a fair?
My dear, if you think $150 is exorbitant, you don't want to talk to me.
Okay.
Because you get me. You're getting someone who has been reading for almost 50 years, has a slew of certifications, has been doing it full time since 9/11. Mm-hmm. Okay. My time is valuable. On the other hand, yes, $10 in Jackson Square in New Orleans, or some people buy donation. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't say to a doctor, I'm only going to pay you 10 bucks and you should be happy with that. I mean, that's fair.
Right. And I agree. The reason I say absorbent is because I was recently, I follow a lot of psychics through Facebook. And one of my favorites is Chip Coffey. Mm-hmm. And he's been advertising that he's doing, you know, with COVID and everything, he's been doing Zoom readings, opening it up for the public at $70 per person, which I think, you know, that's a fair price. He's on TV. That's extremely inexpensive for somebody who's got his notoriety. But he was saying that people are complaining that, oh, well, you charge too much money and how can you be ripping people off like that? And to me, it's like $70, you're getting a steal. You're talking to somebody who's not only has the qualifications, but famous, and he's giving you his time. To me, that was a very reasonable price. And that's why I asked that.
We charge what we feel our expertise and background will bear. Mm-hmm. Now, for instance, there is one particular reading that I do. It is a soul plan reading. Mm-hmm. And it's based on the work that I did with Robert Schwartz. Again, I'm in an international bestseller as one of the four major mediums.
Right.
That reading is $600. Why? Because I spend an hour with you on the phone to get the information. Mm-hmm. And I am then at the desk at 6:30 in the morning and I do deep trance meditation and pull down past lives in detail, plus do your numerology as it sits until I talk to you at 8:00 at night. So yeah, you're going to pay me for an entire day's work.
Right. And your time is valuable. And so that makes perfect sense.
And I also tell people, look, this is a luxury. You don't need this. Mm-hmm. I downsell myself. If you can get what you need in a 5-minute burning question reading, don't buy an hour.
Right.
And if you've never had a reading with me before, I really discourage you from a full hour. You don't know how fast I am. Most people's hour I can do in 30 minutes.
Interesting. So yeah, that's why, like I said, I do agree that your time is valuable. And I personally don't have a problem with what you charge. Mm-hmm. That's just, there are some cheap skeets out there, I guess you could say, that they're going to find fault in everything. And
of course there are. And then you just smile and say, blessings on your journey.
Yes. So that's why I want people to see that. Yes, this isn't just, like you said, your time is valuable. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't go to a doctor and expect them to do your work, you know, an examination for $10. And so.
And do you know what it costs to do a psychic fair? Think about it. And then remember that the doctor has all of his expenses too.
Exactly.
I used to do a 4-day show in Kitchener, Ontario. That would be 5 days on the road, 4 days in a hotel, gas, tolls, food, the booth fee, paying my front person.
Exactly.
And the intangible of being away from my husband for 5 days.
Exactly.
So no, you're not going to get a $10 reading from me. Show like that costs me $1,500 just to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why That's I used to read price. 70 people in 4 days and do 2 lectures.
I know a lot of people say that they're clairsentient, and other people say they're mediums. Is it the same thing, or is there a difference between the two?
No. No, that's okay. One is a methodology. The other is a specialty. Clairsentience is clear knowing, clairaudience is clear hearing, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
People usually say are all medium psychic.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between medium, psychic, and channel? All right. All mediums and channels are psychic.
Right.
Because psychic is the ability to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mediums specifically talk to dead people. Channels channel your spirit guides, Abraham, Seth,
okay.
angels, all of those people. Okay.
Hmm.
Or other information. So.
Okay. Well, I consider myself a large. Nothing, you know, against it or anything like that. Again, psychic mm-hmm. is
that's right.
That sixth sense.
That's right. We are all psychic.
Now, how you define that, medium, challenger, clairvoyance, clairsentience, tarot reader, that sort of right. thing. It's how you
that's
use
right.
that sixth sense.
That is exactly right.
Right.
We can all agree.
Well, because I know that there's some psychics that they're not able to see spirits, but mm-hmm. they have a sense of knowing, like the foreshadowing, the prophetics. And then there's the ones who can hear things or sense things. Like I've been to places where I get these weird senses and I feel like something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I find out, oh, that place was haunted. But I didn't see a ghost. I didn't hear a ghost. I just got that.
But you felt it.
Exactly.
Just as valid.
And then I also get that way about people where this person, it's like, gee, something off about that person. And then I start questioning it like, mm-hmm. well, maybe it's just me and I'm jealous of them for somewhat of a reason. And then I find out later, yeah, that person was bad news, toxic. And
you then that's something you're empathic. When you feel things, you are empathic.
Yes.
But empaths really, really, really need to learn how to put up their boundaries.
Well, thankfully, I'm not that empathic to where it affects me. I know Richard is empathic as well, and he picks up everybody's feelings from everywhere. He hates going to crowded places because he can get all the emotions from all the people in the chaos. And
yep.
So I'm thankfully not that strong. No, I don't.
You don't want to be that strong. This is kind of very fascinating conversation.
Keep asking. I'm real good with answers.
Do you have a spirit guide or any angels you're talking to or anything like that? When you do
I connect with
besides,
yours.
You know,
I connect with yours. They're the ones who tell me what needs to go on. I speak to my own for me, but no, I don't, my spirit guides do not flip through and go, well, I see that Elise here has, no, I talk to your folks.
Okay.
So your spirit guide talks to our spirit guide or do you actually talk to our spirit
guide? I ask your spirit guides to please get me the information you need and it's a download.
Because you said that you know, you like the head, the sides, you know, the mm-hmm. patterns that you get. Like Pictionary,
charades.
You said?
Charades, yes.
Okay. And I know you said that anybody can pretty much do this, that we're all psychic.
Yes. Yes. Okay. You know, that's one of the things that if a psychic says they're the only ones that can read you or the only ones that can help you, run.
Okay.
Run. We've all got the gift. like I said, some want to use it, some don't, but we are not so special that we can take over your life. Anybody tries that, baby, that's an energy vampire. Get out.
Run.
It's, which is just another kind of energy vampire. Yes.
Yes. So do you think that it's just, I know a lot of people say that the reason most people don't have these disabilities is because we're told as kids that, you know, this is fake and this is wrong. So we kind of close our minds to it.
Look at you. You said, I'm afraid of what my family will say because they say it's evil. So yes, unless we really, really want it, then other people can emotionally beat it out of us.
Interesting.
You know, my brother, I think on a deep level, resents the fact that I can talk to our father and he can't. So, you know, he literally will not talk about anything like this with me. He'll ignore the conversation.
So Richard, do you think the reason that you held on to it is because you were always considered the weird one anyway? So everybody just kind of ignored what you were seeing or feeling?
Yes, I really do. You know, basically, you know, growing up, I've always been, Cameron can attest this, always been the silly one. At the same time, when something would really affect me, whether it was the emphatic or this, the, you know, seeing something, that sort of thing, I'm usually the one that's going to go, I'm getting out of here, go away, leave me alone, put up my borders, I'll go to my room, just stay, get back. So, and they're like, oh, it's just Richard being weird, girl, you know.
Right.
That was always the excuse
look,
I heard.
I was an actor and a writer in a completely medical family. I was the rebel. So I was always not what they expected or wanted, but I just didn't care. I had to find my own road.
Right.
It took me a long enough. I took a few U-turns and, you know, but doing this podcast is actually bringing out a lot of therapy needing for me, basically, when it comes to, you know, what my abilities were
and
what
my abilities are. I personally believe that these abilities are a gift. They're giving to us for a reason, to help others. And so I've always kind of discouraged him closing it off because I'm like, there's a reason God gave this to you. And to me, by shutting it off completely is kind of throwing it in his face, I guess you could say. So I've just always believed that he should embrace it and learn how to control it. Like you said, when you go out in public, say, you're not going to, I'm going to put him up today. You're not going to bother me. And only use it when it's necessary, but not to completely shut it off. Is that wrong of me to think that way for him? Or
I would never say it's wrong, but when we're told we should do something, it kills our wanting to do it. And, you know, there's a wonderful young adult series, The Young Wizards by Diane Duane. And one of the things they say is wizardry does not live in the unwilling heart. And that's true. If he doesn't really want to deal with it, then it is his free will to decide to shut it down. And he'll deal with it better in another life. That's all.
Personally, like I said, it about 5 years ago, it's like, okay, you've got to confront this. Because for a long time, people are like, oh, you're psychic. Do you know what where Bob may have hidden the hidden treasure? No, I don't know no Bob, you know.
Although there was that time New Mexico where you met Bob, and I thought you were just joking around. Come to find out later, you did see him.
Yes.
Okay. We were
go ahead, you tell
on vacation that. In New Mexico with my mom and my stepdad, and we stopped at the old jail where there was a shootout between Billy the Kid and the police there. And one of the men who was shot was named Robert, but he went by Bob. So we are walking up to the jail, which is now a museum. And he trips and he says, "Oh, hello, Bob." And I look down and there's a memorial for Robert. And I don't remember the man's last name, but I was like, "Oh, he's just kidding around." And, you know, he just tripped over and saw the head, the memorial. And that's why he said Bob. And then come to find out later, we're watching a show where they're telling the story of the shootout. And they talk about this man who died at that point, mm-hmm. at that place. And his name was Robert, but everybody called him Bob. So I just looked at him and I'm like, "You really did see him that day, didn't you?" And he's like, "Yep." And that's mm-hmm. when I was like, okay, he truly has something there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty good proof.
We hadn't even looked on the ground. I just tripped and I felt this force kind of push, set me back up. And I'm like, "Hello, Bob."
Yes.
that's a very telling piece of energy right there.
Mm-hmm.
I do stand up about being a psychic because some of the stories I have to tell, like, you know, "Does Bruce love me?" People find it hysterical. But it's just, it's another way of my saying, I love what I do, but I don't over-dramatize it. I don't believe it makes me better than other people. You know, there was a meme going around a couple of years ago, pick three fictional people and, you know, together they're you. And the people mm-hmm. I picked were Martha Levinson, Cora's mother in Downton Abbey.
Right.
I picked Stockard Channing, one of the aunts in Practical Magic.
Oh, yes.
And I picked Midge Maisel. Those three are me.
Yes. Oh, I loved Stockard Channing in Practical Magic.
Yes.
That line she has about being normal is simply a lack of character.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yes. So how did you decide to write this book? Was there a particular instance that inspired it, or was it a multiple of instances?
Yes, it was the fake gypsy. It was the fake gypsy story that I told you. The other book that I've written, which is mm-hmm. the flip side of it, is You've Got the Magic Who Needs a Genie. Now, mm-hmm. I used to be on the road 45 weekends a year.
Oh, wow.
For 18 years. And my nickname was the Travel Channel. Then all of a sudden, summer of 2019, herniated disc and pinched nerve. Mm. And honey, that makes having triplets look like a tea party.
Oh, goodness.
So I managed to get better. But the doctor said, "Your career is toast. Mm. You will not be able to do the long drives anymore. You can't load in and load out. That's it." Mm-hmm. So in 4 months, I quickly moved my business online, but that was the universe taking care of me because it was all settled starting March 2020. And what happened then? The start of the year of Murder Hornet Bingo and Hold My Beer. Mm. So at the same time, there are other people that are going to be on the road.
Right.
So I wrote down in this book absolutely everything that I knew, because I can straddle the twin mountains of business and WikiWoo because I was in the corporate world for so long.
Okay.
So this is the basics. It's how to network. It's working with colleagues. It's working with clients. But there are a couple of things in here that I refer to as Corby Gets Candid. And these are where I tell you stories that are the not fun stuff, but you need to know. Hmm. Example I'll give you is, notice in the back, one of the things I show you is my sign-in sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where people handwrite their name and their birthday and stuff like that. That's because when I was doing a show in London, Ontario, I read for a young man in his 20s. Mm-hmm. He really did not like what I had to say. Got up, stalked out. Yeah. The next day, I found a handwritten death threat, anonymous, on my desk.
Oh.
But I was able to compare the handwriting on the death threat with my sign-in sheet. Mm. We made the match. We handed it over to the promoter, who took it to the police.
Oh my goodness.
So it's not just, this is what color curtains to put on your booth. It is literally how to take care of yourself on the road.
Oh my goodness. That is terrifying.
It happens.
Yeah.
You know, from your kind of family, there are still psychic fairs that we do where there are pickets outside who scream at us and throw things at us and Satan worshipers. And, you know, half the people at that psychic fair are Episcopalian. Mm-hmm. I mean, just no.
Right.
But there's no reasoning with them. But so you have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for that.
Right.
You have to be ready for anything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad in this day and age that people still think that way, to be out there picketing it.
But it's the way it is, and the way the United States is moving now, there's going to be more of that.
Oh my goodness. That's scary. That's one of the things that I would love to also do, is aside from this podcast, is to get more out there, start going to conferences and events and stuff like that. So it's good to know that, to be prepared.
You really do have to be.
Yes.
You know, basically what John Lovitz used to say, get to know me. You want to be famous? Get to know me. You want to have something happen? Get to know me.
But it's to the point where I'm quite content with the level of quote unquote fame I've got. Mm-hmm. Because being famous is dangerous in this world today.
Yes.
This way I get to do my work. Definitely. I help people change lives. Mm-hmm. I get to get up every morning. I don't have to get up every morning. Right. And it's enough.
Right.
And with that, about being famous, it's also a double, kind of the other side of the coin, is you have people that are famous and pull that energy from you because they are famous. You know, it's not, you know, you will worship me, you know, because I'm famous. Yeah. And if you don't do what I tell you,
there's the public that thinks that you owe them something because you're famous. Like, you have to act a certain way. You can't be human. Your time is our time. And so you don't get a moment to yourself. And that can be very scary as well.
Yes. You know, I almost got my own reality show this close. They said that, all right, now we're going to make sure everybody knows nobody is like you. They have to come to you. I said, no. That's against everything I've always taught. Mm-hmm. People can do what I do. Oh, you can't say that. I said, but that's who I am. Mm-hmm. So they went with somebody else. And I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. Because that's a problem with reality shows. It's an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp. Mm-hmm. They lie. They absolutely lie.
Right.
And when you start lying as an intuitive, you will lose your gift.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely believe that as well. That when you abuse it, you lose it, as they say. Yes.
Definitely. Yeah, we've pretty much done an hour on this wonderful topic. Do you have any other quotes, notes, or
You can't avoid.
Where can we reach you?
First is, you find me at corbymitlide.com. That's my website. There's like 150 articles where you can find my books, all the readings I do. You can find me on Facebook at Fire Through Spirit. That's where I do my free reading hour once a month. You can find me on Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram and YouTube and LinkedIn. That's all under Corby Mitlide. And if you want to work with me on a regular basis, go find me on Patreon. That's the place where it's, you have tiers, you know, this, or this. And they're really not expensive. At one level, you're going to have what I call the nest meeting once a month. Those people, it's a very small group. We do meditations. We do readings for each other. We talk about metaphysical ideas that they have. And then, you know, another tier, you get that. Plus, four times a year, you got private classes with me. So I am out there for you as you need. And the books, yeah, they're all on Amazon.
Okay.
Make great
yeah, I was looking the other day on Amazon and found your books. And
especially Kindle.
Kindle is great.
Yes. If anybody hasn't gotten a Christmas gift yet,
Yes.
Yes. Well, we definitely enjoyed having you. And thank you again so much for taking time out of your evening to spend with us here. And for our listeners, we do ask, as always, if you can rate us on Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. That helps us go up in the ranks so that if people are looking for us, they can find us easily. And we are also now on YouTube. So make sure you check us out over there and like and subscribe as well. Leave a comment, tell all your friends about us. And anything you'd like to add, Richard?
We do ask, please, oh, please, on that review, even if you tell us we suck, we are bad, we are worse, we'll still take that as a constructive criticism. You know, we love you people. And it's a wonderful thing to actually, you know, knowing this time of the year, this time of the season, we've got to remember that we're all part of this world. And
yes, and we do read the reviews on air. So yeah, you'll get your own personal shout out as well for leaving a review.
That's good.
Right. All right. So as we close the book on another episode of the Skeptic Sidekick, I just want to say, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Satara, Happy Kwanzaa,
Happy Yule,
Happy Hanukkah, Happy
yes,
Yule.
Whatever you participate Festivus. In, whether you do or not, if you don't participate in any holidays, we wish you a happy day. Good night, everybody.
And unpleasant nightmares. Good night.